In the past few days, there's been one topic dominating the conversations of our listeners, the Supremes. Well, more specifically, the Supreme Court and the nomination of who could be the bench's third woman, Elena Kagan.
She's a singer?
No, that's actually Diana Ross. But you can ask any girls, more specifically the girl Elena Kagan, and our listeners in the middle of deciding whether she's the right person. And they're starting with comments from President Obama phrased on what her influence on the court could be.
A court that would be more inclusive, more representative, more reflective of us as people than ever before.
So that's what he wants.
But would Elena Kagan achieve that? She'd be the third woman, the third Jewish person on the court, leaving no Protestants.
Two people
of color. All of the Supremes will have attended an Ivy League college.
David Shook from Clarkston, Michigan. We only have nominees to the United States Supreme Court that have attended Harvard or Yale. We cannot have diversity on the United States Supreme Court until we have graduates from multiple universities, in addition to people of multiple races and ethnic backgrounds.
Steve from Boston disagrees on the whole Ivy League thing. He posts at thetakeaway.org. Not only is the court quite diverse, but each bio highlights a personal struggle to excel and achieve greatness. Why wouldn't a person, regardless of his or her background, striving to be the best, not apply and be accepted and study at Yale, Harvard, or Stanford? Just because they seek the best law schools does not suggest that the U.S. Supreme Court is not diverse.
We've also been hearing from people who are concerned that she's never been a judge, just like Republican Senator Mitch McConnell.
A lifetime position on the Supreme Court does not lend itself to on-the-job training.
But Jim in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania writes to our site, I'm not saying there aren't some legitimate reasons for conservatives to oppose her nomination, but this one is just ridiculous. Where were they when Bill Rehnquist, who was never a judge, was nominated? And the argument that she's inexperienced is the mother of all red herrings. She's clerked for a federal appeals judge, clerked for a Supreme Court justice, worked for a major law firm, served with distinction as the first female dean of the most prestigious American law school, and capped it off as the first woman solicitor general. Give me a break, Jim says.
So I opened my mouth yesterday and said, you know, let's have a normal person, have a regular person, like a plumber. And we got some responses.
This is Laura from Richmond, Michigan. Regular people on the Supreme Court, not a good idea. Just opening a door that shouldn't be opened would allow religious people to think they could air their views, and there's too much of that. We need to work on the separation of church and state.
Regular people or religious people? I don't know, Nancy. Or Laura, excuse me. I mean, Charles writes to our site, the joke suggested that some view the Supreme Court as a kind of super legislature, and it should represent the national population the way, say, the House of Representatives does. That's a seriously flawed notion of what the court is and does. I wouldn't want a plumber to perform open-heart surgery, and I wouldn't want Ruth Bader Ginsburg to fix the hot water valve in my shower. The Supreme Court has a technical legal function to act as the final arbiter of the meaning of the words in the Constitution. Well, okay.
I, on the other hand, would be fascinated to see Ruth Bader Ginsburg try to fix the leak in my shower. We're going to be kicking more of what you think about Elena Kagan, but give us an idea of what you would want to know if you were at the confirmation hearings and could ask her anything. What would you ask? Jim from Slayton, Minnesota writes at thetakeaway.org, the committee should see how well potential justices understand the Constitution. A good starting point would be to ask each nominee to identify all or even a few provisions of this Constitution that impose meaningful constraints on federal, executive, or legislative authority.
I'm tired of that tape loop, Jay.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.